Today is going to be preaching from James 5, verses 7 through 11. I am going to read his sermon text and then turn it over to him. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy.
Amen.
I find that this is a very appropriate word, that Christ is returning. It's not something that grows old. We can't grow old of hearing this or being reminded that our Lord is coming again, and it draws nigh. It's soon. There's like a sense of urgency associated with that. It's not a time of when you hear that Christ is returning. Like, it's hard to hear that. It's almost impossible, I'd say, to hear that and then to, like, just casually continue your way. You have to, like, not believe to do that. So this is for those who believe, this is necessary. We need this. This is good. I'm glad that we're talking about this weekend, and that we're considering this and we're taking it to heart. We're reminding one another of our Lord's return. We want to keep this, our attention on the main thing too, that it's Christ returning. When we talk about these times, there are people who have completely distracted us, the hearers, from this reality, from the real thing, by discussing things that really are not even worthy of discussion. Like, and they promote fear within the people when they speak on this time, these end times, right? The people will try to promote fear within you, considering things like, who is the Antichrist, and what is this man of sin? Well, who cares? The thing is that one day he will be revealed, and then it's gonna be over. See, it's a mystery because he's not revealed. So why are we debating? Why are people in the world wasting so much time debating about who is the man of sin? Well, it's a mystery. It's not known. He's going to be revealed. That implies that it's not known. So why are we debating about stuff like that? The main thing is that Christ is coming. That's the only thing worthy of our consideration. So let's consider that. That's the thing that's going to bring not fear. Maybe. But not in this group. I can confidently speak to you, brethren, today and say that Christ is returning, and that's going to minister not fear, comfort to you. So let us comfort one another with these words today and this weekend. This is a good thing to consider, that Christ is returning. This is going to promote not fear but comfort. And so the apostles were comforted with this. They were comforted with this word. Why wouldn't we be comforted with the same word? He is coming again. Amen. He's returning. I love this consideration that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. This draws your attention straight to, it completely takes your mind off of the temporal things. It really does. When you consider this, it really takes your mind off of the things that could easily distract. You're not going to be overthrown when this is your main thought.
Amen.
So I want to talk today about patience. Being patient. Patiently continuing. In our fellowship with God in patience. That really blessed me to consider that God is patient. He's the one being patient. And what we're doing in salvation is we're just fellowshipping with God. We're just, he's patiently waiting for this. And so we're in fellowship with him and patiently enduring the world and waiting for the coming of the Lord as well. And really, in Christ, our goals are the same thing. Our goals with God are the same. Our desires. Our desires are right in line with what he desires and what he's bringing about. What God is bringing about, we desire to see that end. Whatever it is. When you've really believed on the Lord, like the things that's spoken in the scriptures of what's up ahead, even the judgment, even the things that are the world passing away, being folded up and just discarded, that we don't like mourn over that. We fellowship with God anticipating this great time. When Babylon is completely destroyed and utterly the smoke goes up forever, we rejoice. That's not like a thing that we just, you know, hate. Or when the times of the sons being revealed. That's, we anticipate this. And so whether it's the negative, the bad things that are gonna, the wrath of God being poured out or the whatever it is, we trust the Lord and we look for his coming and we're comforted in this thing because we've believed on the Lord. So my text says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth." The husbandman, the farmer, he waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receiveth the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The husbandman, he waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and he has long patience for that. Long patience for that. I wanted to consider this. That, you know, in the days of Noah, right, God was sending he was sending destruction upon the earth. He was going to destroy the entire earth with the rain, with the water, with the flood. But when the word went out that he was going to do it, the flood didn't come right then. He patiently waited for the ark to be prepared. He was waiting for a righteous man to prepare the ark. And then when that work was done, then the Lord would send that flood, that rain. And so God was patient in that. And he patiently waited for that time, for a work to be done. So this is how I see this, is that God is right now, he has a righteous man doing a work. Amen. And doing a work of preparation.
Amen.
And preparing a people. And then when that work has met its completion, it's finished, then the wrath will come. Amen. But the wrath doesn't come until the righteous man completes his work.
Amen.
And so Christ, what he's doing right now, is he's preparing a church.
Amen.
A glorious bride.
Amen.
And he's going to present this to himself. He's doing a work in building. He's taking the people of God and he's doing this work of preparing his people, and then the wrath comes. And so a righteous man is doing a work. And so God was patiently waiting in the days of Noah. That was like a picture of what he's like. When you consider the days of Noah, you want to also consider, like, this is pointing to what God's doing now.
Amen.
That's like a picture of he's going to destroy the earth again.
Amen.
Not with a flood, though. But he's going to destroy the earth again. And this time it's not going to, like, you know, revive. It's not going to continue.
Amen.
There's a work being done in the earth, and then the work's going to be done in the earth. And then it'll be done. And so the Lord is, and he's doing this work. And so the way I see this is that the work that's being done is with the people of God. The work that's being done in the earth is with the people of God. So when you consider the patience of God, we have in like Romans 9 this word. It's God has spoken, and this is revealed that God is, he's enduring with the others. It's like he's just like enduring with the others, but there's the main people. He's like kind of enduring with the vessels of wrath, right?
Amen.
He's enduring with them. He's kind of like putting up with that, but not for their sake, for the sake of the vessels of mercy.
Amen.
God has vessels of mercy, that he's showing mercy in the earth, and he has these vessels that are vessels of mercy, and that's like the main work. God is doing this work with his people. Remember, the angels are like, they're beholding something when they look into the earth and the work of God. The work of God in the earth is like is revealing something to the angels, the heavenly personalities. they're looking down and they're beholding the manifold wisdom of God in the church.
Amen.
The work that God is doing in the church.
Amen.
That's what the angels are looking into, and they're seeing, they're beholding that God is doing a work with his people, the church. and so God is doing this work in the earth. and so the word is that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. But when we want to consider that, if it hasn't yet happened, this work is still going on. And this work hasn't yet met its... The ark hasn't been fully completed. It wasn't until the ark was fully completed that the flood came. And so we can conclude that the sky hasn't opened up yet. The clouds haven't been rolled back yet. And so we can conclude not that God is slack concerning his promises. No. And not that God has forgotten. No. We can conclude that the work that God is doing in his people in the earth is not yet done.
Amen.
And so, praise God.
Amen.
And so he's wise in this. He's wise in what is, his work isn't going to be cut like short in that it's too short. It's going to be done in righteousness. It's going to be cut short in righteousness. At the right time, God is going to do this. So the husbandman waiteth for this. He's preparing. He has this. The earth is going to produce precious fruit. Precious fruit. And there's fruit to God's labor. He's the husbandman. He's the laborer. He's the farmer doing a work in the earth. and so there's going to be a time when this earth is going to be reaped.
Amen.
It's going to be reaped. That time is coming. It draws nigh. It's near.
Amen.
But that's what's happening. You can conclude then, when that happens, the earth is being reaped. There's precious fruit that's being reaped from the earth. So God is doing this. He's patiently waiting for that, for the fruit to be ripe unto the picking. And so he patiently waits. So what is the word when God is patiently waiting? And he has this man of this righteous man doing a work in preparing people. we can say then the exhortation would be, now you be patient. Be ye patient, therefore, brethren. You be patient. The Lord is patiently waiting and doing this. And so you also be patient. Now we want to conclude too that when the Lord is being patient, he's not idly sitting by. We don't want to like take the patience of the Lord as though he's doing nothing. Like God is just doing nothing right now and the time hasn't been... No, when God is patiently waiting, he's also doing.
Amen.
So it's, patience is not just a standing by doing nothing. It's you're patiently waiting and doing. And so God is patiently waiting, but he's also doing a work in the earth. And so now you be patient, brother.
Amen.
Be patient unto the coming of the Lord and do. So there's a work to do in your patiently waiting. It's not just idly standing by, but it's a waiting unto the Lord, but then there's also a preparing yourself for this coming of the Lord. I was thinking about Job. He says here that Job says, "Behold, we count them happy which endured. Ye have heard of the patience of Job." The patience of Job. "And have seen the end of the Lord." The end of the Lord. You don't want to just read Job 1, 2, and 3 and stop. You want to see the end of the Lord. What the Lord did with Job. Yeah. You can read the first 3 or 4 chapters and see what was all taken from Job. And conclude, wow, He dealt terribly with Job. But the scriptures conclude that God did not deal unfairly with Job. He was merciful and pitiful in his dealings with Job.
Amen.
That's how you conclude Job, is God was merciful and pitiful when he dealt with Job. So why? Because you have to see the end. You have to see the end of Job.
Amen.
And so you can, if you're thinking and focused only on the experience in the earth and what you're going through right now, and you can't see beyond right now into the blessed hope and the coming of our Lord, then you can be kind of, you know, distracted or discouraged. But you want to see the end.
Amen.
How the Lord dealt with Job, the end of the Lord in his dealing with Job, you want to conclude that the Lord's going to deal in your end the same way.
Amen.
So when the wicked one, when his adversary, Job's adversary, took all that he had, took everything from Job, every single thing except for his wife, and then he used his wife against him, he took all of that away, and brought him to a point where he wished he was never born. All the way, you can see all that, but then conclude at the end how God dealt mercifully and pitifully with Job. We have the same adversary. We have the same adversary that Job had. The same one. But you know, you have the same God.
Yeah.
You have the same God too. So your adversary can do his worst, and yet God can take that and use it to your advantage. I was thinking about this too. It's kind of a separate thought, but you know, the only thing left besides his life, you know, he wasn't allowed to touch his life, take his life, is his wife. He left his wife there, but then yet even that, you know, Job received later on at the end of the Lord, right? Children. How did he receive children? So the Lord was wise. Satan said, "I'm going to use his wife against him." But even then, God still used that to even bless Job in the end. we can take the prophets for our examples. Consider how they patiently endured. Look at that word. He says, concerning the prophets in verse 10, "For an example of suffering affliction and patience." "Behold, we count them happy which endure." Endure. That's like you have patience and endurance. They're like working together. And then you count it happy to those who endure. James started out this letter. He starts it out by saying, "Count it all joy when you face these many trials." Right? "The trying of your faith worketh patience. So let patience have its perfect work." Amen. Let patience work for you. Let it do a perfect work in you. there's the coming of the Lord for those who are enduring. This is a time where the Lord is going to multiply like he did with Job. Count them happy which endure. Happy are you, brethren. Amen. Happy are you when you endure.
Amen.
These various trials. Happy are you when these come up. Because we know the end. Because we know the end. Sister Karen already spoke on this, that we know the end. The end is coming, and so look to the end. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I'm going to conclude, brethren. By summing up these thoughts, that the Lord is patient. God is patiently. That's why we're continuing in the earth today, because the Lord is being patient. Let us continue in patience as well, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, and he's going to deal the same with you, mercifully and pitifully, as he did with Job. And so your end will be fourfold as well. We look for his coming.
Amen.
I hope we're continually being comforted with these words.
Amen.
We can be comforted knowing that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Whatever you face, Amen. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Let that be the first thought that comes to your mind when a trial hits you. Let that be the first thought. The coming of the Lord draws nigh, Amen. So whatever this is, it's going to pass away.
Amen.
It's like the earth is going to pass away. This thing will pass as well, and the coming of the Lord draweth nigh.
Amen.
I'll open it up for your comments at this time.
Amen. I like how you liken the salvation to the days of Noah. And you made this remark that salvation is about a man completing his work. Mm-hmm. And just like Noah had to complete his work
yeah.
before the wrath of God fell. And so, but salvation is about the Lord Jesus Christ completing
Amen.
His work.
Yeah.
That's an excellent analogy, and it's good that we can get one that we can take a hold of with our faith.
Amen.
That was very powerful for me.
Amen.
And it's not our fault because it's the Word of God, and there's where the power comes from. The power of His resurrection. That was very good. I think we all look forward to all the nouns being fulfilled.
Amen.
And that was good too, and it was something I want to say. Come back to me.
Amen. Amen.
Sister Bob.
I like the point that you made about Job's wife.
Yeah.
How she was left as a token of what the Lord is going to do in the end.
Mm. Amen.
And so I was thinking about that. When we pass through times, it may be hard for us to see those tokens that the Lord has left in our circumstances
yeah.
He intends to use to bless Amen. In the end. But there's a recognition in the end to realize that this was a mercy of the Lord that he gave me as we passed through that time. And you may be able to recognize it during the time of trial.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to look for those tokens. Look for the mercy.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We're patiently waiting now.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's an action, patiently waiting, and even
believing,
patiently waiting.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Yep. I want to comment about the man of sin and the Antichrist. You know, it doesn't say the Antichrist,
yeah.
it just says Antichrist, but in the context of what you're saying. Now, the man of sin, remember he said that Paul talking about the day of the Lord, he says, that day
yeah.
shall not come
yep.
unless there be a falling away first,
yep.
and that man of sin be revealed. So that man of sin is connected with this falling away. So we're living in the midst of a great falling away, see now, but that gives more relevance to this message of the coming of the Lord. See, there's
yeah.
religion is abounding on every hand, but see, the fervency,
yeah.
the this the, what was what was witnessed on the day of Pentecost is not abounding on every hand. See, this it's all kind of washed away. You know, even though the religion is all over the place, there's churches on every corner practically, and yet, see, there's this falling away has occurred. But see, this makes this message even more relevant to us.
Yeah.
See, it's a and Antichrist has to do with this matter of the denial of the Father and the Son. See, that's what he said specifically. Yep. That he is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. So whoever casts a shadow on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever way, whether by doctrine or by living or whoever does that, that's Antichrist. That's wherever you see that. But that has relevance to the coming of the Lord. John talked about that in 1 John chapter 2 in the context of the coming of the Lord. See, so this is very relevant to see this like in the backdrop.
Yep.
So it's very relevant.
Yep.
It's good. Good, Brother PJ. It was very good.
Yep.
Brother Mike. Thank you for the declaring the truth about the power of receiving great and precious promises of God. Promises that he is coming again. That's a promise. And what you revealed is that hold forth that promise. Mm-hmm. Hold it fast because there's power in it.
Amen.
You talked about this matter of perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
Persevering to the end and enduring to the end. For those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. But it's in view of the promise that he's coming again. And so he links that promise with the power unto salvation.
Yeah.
So this is something that is used for very well. Hold fast that promise. Mm-hmm. There's this power in that for you personally to endure to the end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. Brother Dan.
One thing that I noticed when you were reading the text, it said, it talked about the Lord being patient, and it was immediately followed by you be patient.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God says a lot. The end or the goal of God is that there be a people like him.
Amen.
It's a great expression of God for people like him.
Amen.
Be holy, for I am holy.
That's right. Amen.
He's righteous, he makes us righteous. So this patience, that's too hard to enter into that.
Yep.
So right after that he said, the way of being patient is not just to grit your teeth and hang on. See, the world can do that, to some degree and whatever they're... But it said, establish your hearts. Now, he made a provision for this. Remember, Paul said, your heart is established by grace.
Mm-hmm.
So grow in grace. So our matter of being patient is committing ourselves day by day by day to the working of the Lord and becoming content until he comes.
Amen.
That's comforting.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Amen.
I like seeing a comparison of the drop. He's drawing nigh as we're being drawn towards him.
Mm-hmm.
And the work that is being done on both parties to have a uniform marriage.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Amen.
Amen.
I like that we don't. He brought up how the world is afraid of who the Antichrist is and who the man of sin is. We don't have to do any of that. We just need to search out Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Know him, and our job is to know him. That's the other thing that we're told about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
You mentioned two things that might appear to be contrasting. You talked about the urgency of his coming, but also the comfort of his coming.
Amen.
And without grace, those two things don't generally get together.
Amen.
If you're urgent about something, then that kind of takes your comfort away.
Yeah.
You can't relax, as you would say in the natural. But in grace, we can have this urgency yet be comforted at the same time.
Yep.
Amen.
And that's they're both needful, because if we only had urgency, it could drain you.
Yep.
It can be it leaves you like unsettled.
Mm-hmm.
If there's only urgency. But if you only had comfort, then it could leave you like lethargic and becoming unaware and unconcerned about anything. So these are things that there are things that only God can put together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That otherwise they never come together. So the same message, see, Sister Karen mentioned that the message of his coming can be fearful and it can be comforting,
yep.
depending on who hears it. Mm-hmm. But see, the same message in us is also, it provokes us to urgency, yes. hastening to his coming. But then it's also comforting at the same time.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.
I was also blessed, Brother TJ, with the thought about Noah. He's a righteous man preparing the ark. He is doing the work, and when it's done, then he will come.
Amen.
And I also like this phrase that James used, the precious fruit of the earth.
Yes.
That's us.
Amen.
We're the precious fruit.
Amen.
He's waiting for us, patiently waiting.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.